إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you two stories today. One is a story that was sent to me from the UK. Both are stories of great ibrat for those who have the eyes to see. The first one is sent by this imam from the UK. He said he got a phone call from this lady, a Pakistani family, obviously they are Muslim. She called and said, "My father passed away. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, are you available to speak at his funeral?" 11 o'clock is an odd time. There is no salah time at 11 o'clock. So the imam said, "Where is the funeral?" She said, "It is in such and such a chapel, church." So the imam said, "Why is the funeral in a church? Your father was a Muslim?" She said, "Yes, he was a Muslim. Why is his funeral in a church?" She said, "No, you see, my father was a very forward-thinking Muslim, very open-minded Muslim, and all our friends are not Muslim. And so, we have a few Muslim friends, but most of them are not. So, we are having this funeral in the church." I said, "Okay. So, what do you want me to do?" She says, "We want you to come and make a speech, and it must be short, and it must also be humorous." This is in the funeral. So the imam said, "Well, what else is going to happen?" She said, "Some of the children, grandchildren and so on, they will speak about their father and grandfather. And we are going to play some songs which my father used to like. And then you will speak and then we will bury him." Now this imam, may Allah bless him, he is obviously a man of enormous hilm and sabr. So he said, "Is it possible to do the Salatul Janazah? Is it possible to do the dua of Salatul Janazah?" She said, "Well, you can't do it in the church, but if you want to do it on the graveside, it is okay." So the imam said, "Are there at least three Muslims, so we can pray the Salatul Janazah for your father?" She said, "Well, you know, I mean, I am there, but other than that..." So the imam said, "Look, I will come, I will bring my son, he is 10 years old, and then you are there, somebody else will be there, you will see." So he said he went there the next day to this chapel, this church. He said the place was full of people. So obviously this gentleman was a very popular person. And he said, in that crowd, as I was walking up to the front, he said, "I saw some Muslim faces. I saw some people who looked like Muslims." So he said, "I thanked Allah that at least somebody is there." He said the people made speeches. Some of the grandchildren made speeches. The children made speeches. And they spoke about what a wonderful person this person who passed away, what a wonderful person he was, and how much he gave them, and how much he was always there for them, and how much they received from him, and so on. And this imam says, "All the time I'm thinking, he gave them everything but Islam. He gave them everything except Islam." And then he said they played some songs by Louis Armstrong and so on, which this man is supposed to have liked. Then they carried the body to the graveside. Now, in this story, I do not know whether the man was given ghusl or whether he was in a coffin or whether he was in a box with a suit. Allah knows best. So, he said, by the time I reached the graveside, he said, I found about 10 Muslim people there who were part of the congregation. And he said, by the look of their faces, it was as if they were saying, "Thank God, Alhamdulillah, somebody is there to speak about Islam." So, he said, my mom said, "I gave my speech and I spoke about the Akhirah, I spoke about death, I spoke about the importance of Amal." And obviously, he did not make it humorous or anything. He said what he had to say, Alhamdulillah. And then he said, we prayed Salatul Janazah and we buried him. And he said, as we were coming back, this is my little son, he asked me, he says, "This man was a Muslim, why were they playing songs for him and why is this thing in the church?" Now he says, "What do I explain to him?" This is one story. Let me tell you a second story before I come to the lessons from this. The second story happened with me. In 1998, I was in the masjid in Springfield, Mass. And we got a phone call. A lady phoned and she said that her husband had just died. The husband was a Syrian doctor. He was the head of nuclear medicine at the Bay State Medical Center, Bay State Hospital in Massachusetts. Obviously a senior man, obviously senior meaning not old, but senior in position, obviously very wealthy. And in good health because he dropped dead on the tennis court. He was playing tennis. So she called and she said, my husband died. And she said, I think he was Muslim and I think he would have wanted to have a Muslim funeral. So can you do it? So the Sheikh asked her, why do you say you think he was Muslim? She said, because he had a Muslim sounding name. I don't recall now what the name was, but something. The Sheikh asked her, did he present Islam to you? He said, no, he first asked her, are you Muslim? She said, no, I'm Christian. Do you have children? Yes. How many? Three. Are they Muslim? No, they are Christian. How old are they? eldest son is 40. And then two others. One daughter, another son. So he said, in this period, obviously he's been married for over 40 years. Did your husband present Islam to you? Did he invite you to Islam? Did he speak about Islam? She said, no. Never, never. Did he pray? She said, I don't know. I never saw him pray. Did he go to the masjid? Well, we were the only masjid there. He never came to our masjid. So, obviously, he didn't go to the masjid. So, the Sheikh said, then why do you say he wanted a Muslim funeral? She said, well, I think so. Now, usulan by the Sharia, if there is no evidence of somebody having prayed in his life, then as far as the Sharia is concerned, he is not Muslim. So, therefore, to pray Salatul Janaza for him is not valid. But since this request came, I asked the Sheikh, I said, do you object if I go and pray Salatul Janaza? They've called and they said, the lady is asking, he was Muslim. He said, no, I don't object. If you want to go, you go. So the next day, we say, where is the body? Body is in the funeral parlor. So it's in the... So we phoned the funeral parlor. We told them, look, we have to bathe the body, give ghusl. So he was very surprised. He said, you're going to give the dead body a bath? He said, yes. So what do you need? They were very, very cooperative and very... But they were surprised, obviously. They had no idea what a Muslim funeral is. So... We said, we need a table to put the body on and bathe. We need warm water. He said, warm water for what? He said, to bathe the body. He said, it's a dead body. How does the body doesn't feel? He said, no, that's not how we treat the dead. We treat the dead with respect and we need warm water for this. And another table to place the body after that. Rest of it we took. We took towels and we took the kafan and so on and so on. So three other brothers of mine, who were there. So, those three and myself, we went. When we went and we were giving the ghusl, this was the first ghusl that I ever gave in my life. So, this person, Allah knows, Ajib, it was like the man was sleeping. You could not say that the man was dead. Just like as if he was sleeping. And I'm thinking to myself that, Ya Allah, this man was alive yesterday, he was playing tennis. And now, right now, he could be alive. I mean, I could say, Assalamu alaikum, wake up, and he would wake up. But he won't wake up because he's dead. Allah has taken the life out of him. Khalas, everything else is intact. My whole thought was, everything is intact. He has eyes, but he cannot see. He has ears, but he cannot hear. He has a tongue, but he cannot speak. He has hands and feet, but he cannot do anything. He has his brain is intact, but it doesn't work. His heart is intact, but it doesn't work. You know, all his internal organs are intact, but they don't work. Here is a man. So as we were bathing him, the sun came. So I said, please come join us in the ghusl of your father. He said, no. So I'm thinking to myself, then you don't want to join in the ghusl, why are you here? He came because the father was wearing a ring. He was wearing a gold ring with some diamond or something on it. He came, he took out the ring and he went away. Ajib, Allah has... I cannot thank Allah for the experiences that He gave in my life. So we finished the ghusl. We did the kafan. This was in the basement. We brought him up. We put the body there. I am standing there. Three of our brothers behind me. These two sons and the two ladies are there. So I said, if you want to join in the funeral prayer of your father, you are welcome. He said, no. They don't want to come. Okay. So we prayed Salatul Janaza. Then they put the body in the hearse. We told the lady the previous day when she phoned that if you will do the funeral prayer for your husband, we offer to bury him in the Muslim graveyard, in the Muslim cemetery. She said, no, I don't want that because I want to be buried next to him when I die, and you will not allow me to be buried there because I am not a Muslim. I said, yeah, that is true. So he has to be buried in the Christian cemetery. The thought in my mind is now, in America, those cemeteries are laid out. And, you know, they are very nicely arranged. But the orientation of the grave, is it towards the Qibla or not? How is that going to happen? If it is not oriented towards the Qibla, there is nothing I can do. In the cemetery, all the graves have to be in a particular way. They won't allow you to dig one grave, you know, in the opposite direction. So, I said, anyway, that's not in our control. So, we put the body in the hearse. We told the people... please come with us. They said, no, we'll meet you in the cemetery. So the body is in the hearse. We are following the body in our car. No one to even follow the body. We reached the cemetery and there I discovered that, alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, this khabar was oriented towards the Qibla. That's how it was. So I got down inside the khabar. And we placed the body, without any problem, we were able to place him facing the Qibla and so on. We finished the burial. Then I came out and we started putting the soil into the cover. His family, they said, is it over? I said, yes. They went away. They did not even wait for the cover to be filled. They left. Anyway, we filled the cover. We made dua and we also left. The reason I am telling you these two stories is to remind myself and you the importance of giving Islam to ourselves and to our children. I am saying ourselves because the problem is not with the children, the problem is with the parents. And you might say, well, you know, this is a Christian family and the other one is not a Christian family, they were a Muslim family, but this is in the West. Believe me, there are Indian Muslim Hyderabadi families where if the father dies, the sons do not know what to do. They have no clue. They have no clue. They will call a ghassal, some professional bather of bodies, who will come and who will be paid to bathe the body of the father, to bathe the body of the mother. They do not know how to do the kafan. The kafan will come out from somewhere, God knows what, how it is. They will not know what to do. They will not know how to pray Salatul Janaza. We have this, the ritual of the imam of the masjid who will ask the permission of the son. Do I have your permission to pray Salatul Janaza for your father? And the son says, yes. Because if he says, no, the father will sit there for 3 days. And yet we are not ashamed of our ignorance. So this is not to do with the West. Here, right here. This is the state, I think I am not exaggerating if I say that this is the state of the vast majority of Muslims right here in this country, and so also in many Muslim countries. And there is no need for this. It takes 10 minutes to learn how to do the ghusl, how to do the kafan, and how to pray Salatul Janazah. It takes 10 minutes. We have had workshops here in this masjid. And people make a lot of, oh, you want the workshop, want the workshop. When you do the workshop, there are three people there. So then what? The internet is, YouTube is full of videos of how to do ghusl, how to do kafan, how to do this, everything. How to go to Jannah is not there. Other than that, everything else is there. But do we take the trouble to see? Do we take the trouble to find out? Do you take the trouble to go to somebody who knows and say, please teach me. I will not leave you. Teach me now. No, we don't do that. We do all of this. We make this effort for everything else. But just think, one day you will die. One day I will die. And your children are going to stand there blinking. Your children won't stand because I taught them. But otherwise, the children are going to stand there and they won't know what to do. I advise myself and you, let us get real with life. Put everything else aside and say that I will learn this. I will learn how to do Salatul Janazah. I always say a Muslim man must know how to give the Adhan and Iqamah. He must know how to lead Salah, meaning the masail of Imamat also, not just standing and saying Allah, Allahu Akbar and reading Quran. No, the masail of Imam, when you are an Imam, what must you do? What must be your niyyah and so on and so forth? What must happen if something goes wrong? So he must know to do Salah. He must be able to do the khutbah of Jummah. I'm not talking about the lecture. I'm talking about the Arabic khutbah. He must know how to do the janazah, meaning the ghusl and the kafan and the salatul janazah of a person. These four things are, in my view, primary level, kindergarten level knowledge as far as Islam is concerned. Every single Muslim man must know this. If he does not know this, he is inadequate, he is ignorant. So let us look at ourselves and say, do I know this much? And if I don't know this much, what is my plan? Don't live like this. It is not nice. We cannot live like this. We just because you wear nice clothes, it doesn't mean anything. You know, this is absolute, abject ignorance. Let us get out of this. And let us make this niyyah and say, I will not live like that, like an ignorant person like this. Let me learn. So that minimum, I'm not talking about some great, you know, ulum of deen. This is absolute minimum. If you don't know this, imagine people praying five times a day, alhamdulillah, five times a day in the masjid by jama'ah. You tell them to do iqamat, they make mistakes. Five times a day you are listening to iqamat, every single day of your life, alhamdulillah, and you can't do iqamat. Tell them to give adhan. They say, no, I can't give adhan. Why can't you give adhan? You heard adhan. You have been hearing adhan. Alhamdulillah, we live in countries where you have been hearing adhan every single day of your life. There's no day that goes when you haven't heard adhan at least one time. Some masjid somewhere. But you can't give adhan. It's just plain laziness, nothing else. So please, let us break out of this and make this niyyah that we are going to learn. And we are going to learn now, today, inshallah al-musta'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn our deen and to practice it and to make this a means of our guidance and the means of our najat on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.